الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، in our previous class, we had begun reading the second issue that the author he mentioned, رحمه الله تعالى، مسألة الإيمان, the issue with regards to الإيمان. And we've seen that the author he mentioned with regards to this, رحمه الله, proceeding from the previous point that As-Sunnah indana, that As-Sunnah, the deen, the creed, and the proper understanding of the religion of Al-Islam that was revealed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, anna al-imana qawlun wa amalun yazidu wa yanqus, wa la yanfa'u qawlun illa bi'amal, wa la amalun wa qawlun illa bi'niyya, wa la qawlun wa amalun wa niyatun illa bi'sunnah. Illa bi sunnah, the sunnah, the religion that is upright and proper and correct, the deen that was revealed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is that we believe that iman is speech and action, and it increases and decreases. That iman is speech and action, it increases and decreases, and no speech will benefit without action, and no action and speech will benefit without intention, and no action, speech, and intention will benefit except by being upon the sunnah, by being upon the sunnah. So the author he is referring to here, rahimahullahu ta'ala, to the two conditions, shartay qabul al-a'mal. And the author he's mentioning here the two conditions for the acceptance of all of the deeds. And we have seen previously that from faith, from al-iman, is statements. Statements of faith, likewise actions, actions of faith, as well as creed. That al-imanu qawlun bil-lisan wa qawlun bil-qalb. That al-iman is a statement on the tongue and a statement with the heart. Wa amalun bil-qalbi wa amalun bil-jawarihi wal-arkan. That it is also actions of the heart, as well as actions of the limbs and body parts. As well as actions of the limbs and body parts. The statement of the tongue, this is very clear. Like the statement, La ilaha illallah, and all of the good words, and all of the good words from the recitation of the Quran, the adhkar, in the morning and the evening, and after the salawat, and before noman upon waking up, and all of the remembrances throughout the day, and supplicating and calling on Allah Azza wa Jal, and teaching and directing the people and admonishing them and giving advice. And the likes from the actions that are pleasing to Allah that are performed with the tongue. And as for the statement of the heart, and that is creed and belief and certain faith and the fundamental pillars of al-Iman that have come in the hadith of Jibreel alayhi salatu wassalam, and likewise the obligations of faith that proceed from that, the details of Iman that proceed from that, that one he must believe in with certainty. That one he must believe in with certainty. And also the heart, it has actions. It has actions. At the head of them, love and fear and hope and trust and reliance and trust and reliance and sincerity and the likes and surrender and submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as well as the body parts. They have actions, and that is performing the outward deeds, like performing the salah and giving the zakah, and establishing the fast and making the pilgrimage. All of these are outward actions that are performed outwardly. And rather, every action that's performed outwardly is not considered correct until along with that is performed inwardly correct as well. So the heart must be moving along with the limbs and body parts. The heart must be moving along with the limbs and body parts, or else a person, he'll be heedless in his actions. Or else a person, he'll be heedless in his actions. So now, after establishing this affair, that iman is a statement and action, a statement on the tongue and a statement of the heart, a statement on the tongue and a statement on the heart, and likewise, it is actions that, after affirming that iman is statement and action, statement on the tongue and statement of the heart, and actions of the heart and actions of the limbs and body parts, the author is clarifying that those statements and those actions will not benefit. Those statements and those actions will not benefit unless a person he is sincere. Those statements and those actions will not benefit unless a person he is sincere and purifies his intention for the sake of Allah. And then likewise, even if he were to work and to perform the good deeds, and he were to be sincere, and he were to be sincere in his devotion, likewise, these affairs will not benefit until he establishes all of that upon the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Until he establishes all of that upon the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, as sunnah indana is that we believe that la yanfa'u qawlun illa bi'amal, that the person's statement will not benefit without action. He must perform the actions that testify to the authenticity of that which he is claiming. To the authenticity of that which he's claiming. He must work by the creed that he believes in, is stating on the tongue. And that the amal, wala amal wa qawl illa biniyyah, and that the statement and the action will not benefit except with intention. And the intention of ikhlas, illa biniyyah, yani niyyat al-ikhlas, lil-ma'budi subhanahu wa ta'ala, except with the intention of purity, sincerity, for Allah Azza wa Jal, for Allah Azza wa Jal. And then likewise, if a person, he were to bring the condition of sincerity, it's not sufficient. Until likewise, he couples with that the condition of holding fast to the sunnah and the laws and legal ways of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in establishing those statements and those actions. وَلَا قَوْلٌ وَعَمَلٌ وَنِيَّةٌ وَلَا قَوْلٌ وَعَمَلٌ بِنِيَّةٍ illa bi sunnah. And likewise, no statement and action with an intention of sincerity will benefit except with being upon the sunnah. So this is established and well known. The two conditions for the acceptance of every action is that it must have al-ikhlas wal mutaba'a. Al-ikhlas lil-ma'budi wal mutaba'atu lil-rasuli sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It must be sincere for Allah Azza wa Jal with no ulterior motives whatsoever. It must be inwardly sincere for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no ulterior motives whatsoever, and it must be outwardly in accordance to the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So all of the actions of worship that are beloved to Allah and a means to draw near to Allah and obtain His mercy and pleasure subhanahu wa ta'ala, they have an inward aspect and an outward aspect. And both aspects must be in accordance to the legislation and the law that is revealed, to that which is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and what He has allowed. So inwardly it must be with an intention that is pure, seeking the pleasure and the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. And outwardly it must be in accordance to the legislation and law and the guidance of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah azza wa jal, He gathered the mention of these two conditions in a number of verses in His book, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And from that, فَمَنْ كَانَ يَرُجُوا لِقَاءَ رَبِّهِ فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا وَلَا يُشْرِكْ بِعِبَادَةِ رَبِّهِ أَحَدًا. So whoever is truly hoping for the meeting of his Lord, then let him work righteous deeds and not associate partners whatsoever in the worship of his Lord. So to not associate partners whatsoever in the worship of his Lord, this is the first condition, and to work the righteous deeds, this is the second condition. This is the second condition. The righteous deeds are considered righteous whenever they're according to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then emphasizing that likewise, in order to be accepted, it must be sincere. It must be performed sincerely for the sake of Allah. And likewise, we all know the narration of Umar radiyallahu anhu, which is the hadith and niyyah, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّمَا الْعَمَّلُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ وَإِنَّمَا لِكُلِ امْرِئٍ مَا نَوَى, that the deeds are but by way of the intention, and everyone will have what they had intended. And everyone will have what they had intended. And the narration is well known, and this is the first narration in Sahih al-Bukhari. The first narration in Sahih al-Bukhari. And Bukhari, he narrates this narration from the hadith of Abdullah ibn Zubayr, from the hadith of Abdullah ibn Zubayr, the author here of Abdullah ibn Zubayr, Abu Bakr al-Humaydi, rahimahullah ta'ala. So this is the clarification for the condition of the inward aspect of the action, of the inward aspect of the action, and the hadith is muttafaqun alayhi. As for with regard to the outward aspect, then this is in the narration of Aisha radiallahu anha, which is also muttafaqun alayhi. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, He said, من أحدث في أمرنا هذا ما ليس منه فهو رد. من أحدث في أمرنا هذا ما ليس منه فهو رد. And whoever introduces something new into this affair of ours, into this deen of ours, into the sunnah, this creed and belief and methodology of ours, then it will be rejected. That's not from it, then it will be rejected. And another wording in Sahih Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, من عمل عملا ليس عليه أمرنا فهو رد. That whoever does an action that's not in accordance to our affair, not in accordance to our deen, our creed, our belief, our methodology, our laws and legal ways, then it will be rejected. So the one who introduces the innovation, his action is rejected. And the one who applies it after him, his action is rejected, even if he didn't introduce it. So the actions that are not in accordance to the sunnah and the laws and legal ways and the guidance of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they will not be accepted. Even if a person is sincere, the conditions, both of them, they must be present. And also it has come in Sahih Bukhari and Muslim from the hadith of Al-Bara ibn Azib radiallahu anhum. And we have taken this a number of times. And whenever he's mentioning about his uncle Abu Burda ibn Niyar radiallahu anhu, that on the day of Eid al-Adha, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he gave a sermon to the believers after establishing the Eid prayer. And he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, من صلى صلاتنا ونسك نسكنا فقد صاب النسك. In some wordings, فَقَدْ أَصَابَ سُنَّةَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ, that whoever prays this prayer of ours and he slaughters the way that we slaughter, then indeed he has achieved the sacred rites of slaughtering. In another wording, indeed he has achieved the sunnah, the way of the Muslims. And with regards to the udhiyah and slaughtering the animal that is pleasing and accepted from Allah Azza wa Jal. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, وَمَنْ ذَبَحَ قَبْلَ الصَّلَاةِ فَلَا نُسُكَ لَهُ. And whoever slaughtered before the prayer, then he has no sacred rights. Any meaning that his animal was not considered a means of worship that would draw him near to Allah. And then Abu Burda radiallahu anhu, whenever he heard this, he stood up and he mentioned to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he knew that today was a day of eating and drinking and a day of great celebration. And he already slaughtered his animal in his house, hoping that he'll be the first one to participate on this day. And he's the first one to slaughter in his home and for his family to eat from his offering first and foremost. And he clarified that he has a beautiful intention and he's only wanting to do good. But he slaughtered before he came to the salat. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, along with affirming him upon his good intention and that he only wanted good, he said, Shatuka shatu laham. Shatuka shatu laham. Your sheep is just for food. Meaning it's not a qurban. It's not a means to draw near to Allah. It's not an udhiyah. It's not a slaughtered animal that is pleasing to Allah, fulfilling the sacred rites of the udhiyah. Rather, it's just a regular animal that's slaughtered, that's allowed for you to eat. So here the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not suffice with the fact that he had a good intention. Whenever the action was also not performed outwardly according to the laws and legislation that are prescribed, then it's rejected and not accepted. So it's not sufficient for someone to come along and say, oh, my intention is good. Even if he's sincere and he truly has a good intention, then it's not sufficient for the action to be accepted until it's outwardly in accordance with the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is the meaning. وَلَا يَنْفَعُ قَوْلٌ إِلَّا بِعَمَلٍ. That statement, you claim you have the statements of faith, you claim you believe, that will not benefit until you apply the actions of faith likewise, until you work by that creed and that belief that you claim. وَلَا عَمَلٌ وَقَوْلٌ إِلَّا بِنِيَّةٍ. And likewise, the statements and actions will not benefit except with intention, meaning you have to be sincere. So if a person, he made those statements and he performed the actions, but inwardly he's not sincere, it will not be accepted. وَإِذَا جَاءَكَ الْمُنَافِقُونَ قَالُوا نَشْهَدُ إِنَّكَ لَرَسُولُ اللَّهِ. Allah, he mentioned about the hypocrites, those who outwardly claim and perform the actions of Islam, but inwardly they conceal disbelief. If whenever the hypocrites come to you, O Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they say, indeed we bear witness that you are the messenger of Allah, Allah, he says, وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ إِنَّكَ لَرَسُولُهُ وَاللَّهُ يَشْهَدُ إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ لَكَاذِبُونَ. Indeed, Allah, he knows that you are his messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Allah, he bears witness that the hypocrites are liars. So that which he claims outwardly with his tongue and the actions that he performs physically with his body parts must be based upon a creed that is solid and residing in his heart. Sincerity and truthfulness in faith and honesty in his creed and his belief. and honesty in his creed and his belief, meaning he must truly believe in Allah and the last day and that which Allah has ordered to believe, or else those statements and actions will never be accepted. وَلَا عَمَلٌ وَقَوْلٌ إِلَّا بِنِيَّةٍ إِلَّا بِنِيَّةٍ ثُمَّ And then if he were to bring the statement and the action based upon the intention, based upon the intention, still is not sufficient for the acceptance of the actions with Allah Azza wa Jal. وَلَا قَوْلٌ وَعَمْرٌ بِنِيَّةٍ إِلَّا بِسُنَّةٍ إِلَّا بِسُنَّةٍ And no statement and no action and no intention, any no sincerity, except in accordance to the Sunnah. Except in accordance to the Sunnah. So for the action to be accepted, it must gather these two principles. It must be sincerely for the sake of Allah and in accordance to the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If it's sincerity for the sake of Allah, but not upon the Sunnah of the Prophet. If it's sincerity for the sake of Allah, but not upon the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, فَهُوَ رَدْ Then it's rejected. If it's outwardly, clearly and precisely upon the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but inwardly it's not sincerity and purity for the sake of Allah, فَهُوَ رَدْ Then it's rejected. And if it's not upon the Sunnah, nor is it even sincerity for the sake of Allah, فَأَبْعَدْ وَأَبْعَدْ Even further and further away, that it is not accepted. Rather, it's rejected. So the one who works hard, striving to worship Allah Azza wa Jal, but he's upon ignorance and doesn't apply the Sunnah, then his action is in vain and void. He's upon misguidance and deviation. He's following his desires. And the one who strives hard to perform it outwardly properly, but he has an ulterior motive and he wants some worldly gain or position, his action is misguided and it will not be accepted. So the one who worships Allah without knowledge, this is like the Christians, waliyadhu billah, those who have went astray, and the ones who use their religious actions to get the worldly life, this is like the Jews, waliyadhu billah, they earn the anger of Allah and they will not be proper and correct until it's both inwardly and outwardly according to the legislation that is prescribed. The revelation that is revealed, the way of the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, al-ikhlas wal mutaba'a, sincerity, along with following the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So outwardly learning the Sunnah, this one requires effort. Outwardly learning the Sunnah, this one requires effort. You have to be diligent. You have to seek knowledge. You have to learn how to perform the actions of Islam. You have to learn how to perform the statements and the actions of Islam properly according to the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, like the prayer, for example. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is said in that well-known narration of Malik ibn al-Huwaylith, Sahih Bukhari, radiallahu anhu, وَصَلُّوا كَمَا رَأَيْتُمُونِي أُصَلِّي, and pray as you have seen me pray. And in the Hadith of Jabir in Sahih Muslim, لِتَأْخُذُ عَنِّي مَنَاسِكَكُمْ, so that you must take your sacred rites of performing the pilgrimage from me. And then likewise in the Hadith of Uthman, which is mutafiqun alayhi, فَمَنْ تَوَضَّأَ نَحْوَ وُضُوءِ هَذَا, and whoever makes wudu in the manner I make wudu, like this. And so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's the role model. So we have to learn how to perform these actions according to his way, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And once one learns this way, he will just implement that every time he is establishing that action. He will learn how to pray outwardly according to the Sunnah, fulfilling the conditions and the pillars, and then likewise the Sunan and the affairs that are recommended, and he'll perform it outwardly. So this one, compared to the intention, is much easier, because the intention is something that's always changing. The intention is something that's in the heart, and the heart is always changing. For this reason, it's been narrated by Yahya ibn Abi Kathir, rahimahullah, he died in the year 132, from those scholars, from those six whom the narrations revolve around. Rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, ta'allamu niyyah, fa'innaha ablagu min al-amal. You have to learn the intention, because it's more severe than the action. And likewise, Sufyan al-Thawri, rahimahullah, he died in the year 161. He said, ma alajtu shay'an ashad alayya min niyyati. I never treated or dealt with anything more harsh upon me or difficult to deal with than my own intention, because it's always changing on me. Some of the people of knowledge, they would mention in one narration, they would have a number of intentions, meaning that he would sit down to speak and to narrate and be sincere, and then something would happen and his niyyah would change, meaning that the hope that he has in his heart for the acceptance of that action or a reward for that action, instead of going to Allah Azza wa Jalla, starts hoping from the people or looking toward the people like this, and you have to renew his intention and renew his intention. Some of them, they would say that I would strive hard to remove and purify my heart from showing off and wanting to be seen and praised by the people, and then it's as if it will grow back in my heart in another form. It's as if it would grow back in my heart in another form. He would strive to move the ri'ah from his heart in this issue, and then if he feels like he overcame that, now it will grow back in another form. And in the heart, the devil, he does not give up, and he does not tire, nor does he get weak. He just continues and continues in the first place to corrupt the believers in his intention. Is in his intention. So the point is that the intention is something that one, he must strive to purify constantly and daily. In every action, he must remember that the deed must be for the sake of Allah. Likewise, that which has been mentioned about this affair is also from the statement of Sufyan al-Thawri rahimahullah, that he said, "Inna akbah haragba an tutlab ad-dunya bi'amal al-akhirah," that the most filthy and disgusting desire, intention you can have and want with your heart, and what you can have in your heart, is that one will use that one will seek the dunya and the worldly life by way of the deeds of the hereafter. By way of the deeds of the hereafter. So man kana yarju, faman kana yarju liqa'a rabbihi faly'amal 'amalan salihan wa la yushrik bi'ibadati rabbihi ahada. So whoever is truly hoping for the meeting of Allah Azza wa Jalla and his pleasure and mercy in the hereafter, then let him work righteous deeds according to the law and legislation of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa la yushrik bi'ibadati rabbihi ahadan, and not associate any partners in the worship of his Lord whatsoever. No major or minor partner. The people of knowledge, the majority of them, they mentioned that this is in reference to showing off. To showing off. Do not associate any partners. لا ترائي. لا ترائي في العبادة. Do not seek anything from your actions of worship from other than your Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So after this, the author, he moves on to al-masala al-thalitha, the third issue that he's discussing here from usul al-sunnah and the ulama al-hadith, the fundamentals of the sunnah, of the deen and the creed and belief and methodology that was revealed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam according to the scholars and transmitters of al-hadith, masala al-sahaba, masala al-sahaba, the issue with regards to the noble companions رضي الله عنهم. So he says, والتراحم والتراحم على أصحاب محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم والتراحم على أصحاب محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم كلهم. يعني وأن السنة عندنا التراحم, meaning that the sunnah, the creed, the proper methodology and way, the proper creed, the sunnah, the creed, the proper methodology and way, the true deen, the real Islam, is that you make dua, at-tarahum. At-tarahum, yani that you tad'u bi rahmah, that you make dua for mercy for the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all of them. All of them. وَتَرَحُّمُ عَلَىٰ أَصْحَابِ مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ كُلِّهِمْ, that you ask Allah to have mercy on the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all of them. All of them. The people of knowledge, they have a principle with regards to the word الرحمة and مغفرة, أو طلب الرحمة وطلب المغفرة, seeking mercy and seeking forgiveness. And they mention that these are from those terms that if one of them is mentioned in one context, then the other meaning is understood and included. Then if one of them is mentioned alone in a particular context, then the other is understood and included. So to ask for mercy for someone, to make dua for mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for someone, for example, this includes seeking forgiveness for them. The meaning includes seeking forgiveness. So if you say, Arrahimahullah, Arrahimakallah, Allah yarhamuka, may Allah have mercy on you, may Allah have mercy on him, may Allah have mercy on him, Rahimakumullah, may Allah have mercy on all of you brothers, Barakallah fikum. So whenever you say this, like this, may Allah have mercy on you, what is understood is, may Allah have mercy on you by forgiving you for your previous sins and expiating those and not taking you to account for that. And may Allah grant you success in the future to be upright and do good and to establish the way that is pleasing to Allah. So may Allah pardon you for your previous sins and grant you success to continue upon a good way. This is what it means whenever you ask Allah to have mercy on someone. whenever you ask Allah to have mercy on someone. But if, or if you said, ghafarallahu lak, may Allah forgive you, may Allah forgive you, then this one also has the same meaning. That meaning that may Allah forgive you, may Allah forgive you and pardon your previous sins and grant you success in the future to avoid sins and to do that which is pleasing to Allah. So it includes the meaning of both of them. But if one here were to say, rahimakallah wa ghafarallahu lak, may Allah have mercy on you and forgive you, now each one has its own specific meaning. Now, may Allah have mercy on you, and by granting you success and goodness in this life to continue upon the way that is pleasing to Him, and may Allah forgive you for the sins that had passed, for the sins that had passed. So here the author is mentioning tarahum, but he's using an evidence that has in it al-istighfar. He's using an evidence that has in it al-istighfar, and this is from this understanding here. So he says, وَتَرَحُّمُ عَلَى أَصْحَابِ مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ كُلِّهِمْ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلْ قَالَ وَالَّذِينَ جَاءُوا مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا وَلِإِخْوَانِنَا الَّذِينَ سَبَقُونَا بِالْإِيمَانِ رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا وَلِإِخْوَانِنَا الَّذِينَ سَبَقُونَا بِالْإِيمَانِ. So he says, because indeed Allah the Most High, he says, وَالَّذِينَ جَاءُوا مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ, those who come after them. Because this verse has come in Surah Hashr, and just before this verse is other verses mentioning the Muhajirun wal Ansar, mentioning the Muhajirun and the Ansar and praising them in a great manner. And then Allah, he mentions after the mention of the Muhajirun and the Ansar, وَالَّذِينَ جَاءُوا مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ, and those who come after them. And in those who come after the Sahaba, this is what is intended, those who come after the Sahaba, specifically, and Muhajirun wal Ansar, يَقُولُونَ, what they say, يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا, oh, our Lord, forgive us. Oh, our Lord, forgive us. Wa ikhwanina alladhina sabaquna bil iman. Oh, Allah, forgive us and our brothers who have preceded us in faith. So the first and foremost from our brothers who have preceded us in faith are the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, the Muhajirun wal Ansar. So therefore, the people who come after the Muhajirun and the Ansar, those who are sincere believers and they're truly upon the way of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and establishing the revelation and the guidance that was revealed to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then they make dua and seek forgiveness for those believers, for their brothers from the believers, those who had preceded them. And at the head of them are the noble companions, and at the head of them are the Muhajirun and the Ansar. رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا وَلِإِخْوَانِنَا الَّذِينَ سَبَقُونَا بِالْإِيمَانِ وَلَا تَجْعَلْ فِي قُلُوبِنَا غِلًّا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا رَبَّنَا إِنَّكَ رَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ. And the ayah continues, and Allah, he says, the meaning of the verse, which is, those who come after them, they say, O our Lord, forgive us and our brothers who have preceded us in faith, and do not place any animosity or anger or hatred or dislike for anyone from those who believe. رَبَّنَا إِنَّكَ رَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ. O our Lord, indeed you are the most kind and the most merciful. Indeed you are the most kind and the most merciful. So here in this verse, we see the two fundamental principles with regards to our creed and belief in the noble companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, clarifying our way and methodology, the way and the methodology of Ahlus Sunnati wal Jama'ah, and that is taharatul qulubi wa salamatul alsinah. Taharatul qulub wa salamatul alsinah, that the hearts are pure. Taharatul qulub wa salamatul alsinah tija sahabati rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's that the hearts, they are pure and clean, and the tongues, they are safe and good from mentioning any harm towards the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the hearts of the true believers, the true followers of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after him and his companions, then they have no animosity or rancor or hatred or any hard or bad feelings towards any one of the companions whatsoever, radiallahu anhum. Towards any one of the companions whatsoever, radiallahu anhum. And they say nothing but good about them. They seek forgiveness for them. They ask for Allah to have mercy on them. They ask Allah, and they ask Allah to be pleased with them, radiallahu anhum. And they mention that Allah is pleased with them, radiallahu anhum, because Allah, he said, is pleased with them. لَقَدْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ يُبَايِعُونَكَ تَحْتَ الشَّجَرَةِ فَعَلِمَ مَا فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ. عَلِمَ مَا فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ. Indeed, Allah is pleased with those believers who pledged allegiance to you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, under the tree, meaning on the day of Al-Hudaybiyah. On the day of Hudaybiyah, and all of them, they are believers, and the Muhajirun and the Ansar, they were there on that day, and also from the best of the companions. So they're all included, no doubt. Allah is pleased with them. So the methodology of the people of the Sunnah and those who are holding fast truly to the correct religion and deen, the proper al-Islam, upon clarity and insight with regards to the Sahaba, their hearts are pure and clean from having any rancor or hatred or animosity or ill feelings towards any one of the companions. Rather, the heart is full of love and honor and respect for every last one of them. For every last one of them. For every last one of them. And we believe likewise that they vary in their virtue, and some of them are better than others, although they all share in the virtue of suhba. They all share in being companions, and they all have reached this high level that no one after them can reach, because they have the eyes that saw the eyes of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they believed in him and followed him. And they believed in him and followed him and died upon faith. So they have a virtue that no one after them can reach, and they all share in that virtue. But after that, some of them are higher and more lofty according to the favor and blessing Allah upon them. And to summarize, the best of them are 10, al-ashr, al-mubashirin, bil-jannah, at the head of them, al-khulafa, al-arba'ah, and they are Abu Bakr and Umar, Uthman and Ali. Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman and Ali, in that order, as they have come in the Khilafah, and also in that order in virtue. And the best of them is Abu Bakr and Umar. And the best of them is Abu Bakr, radiallahu anhum, jami'an. And this is well known. So these are the Khulafa al-Rashideen, the ones whom the Messenger he mentioned, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whenever he said, alaykum bi sunnati wa sunnati al-Khulafa al-Rashideen al-Mahdiyin, tamassaku biha wa'addu alayha bin nawajith, tamassaku biha wa'addu alayha bin nawajith, that you must hold fast to my sunnah, my way, my creed, my belief, my methodology, my deen, and the way of the Khulafa al-Rashideen al-Mahdiyin, the rightly guided, upright Khulafa al-Rashideen. Hold fast to that and bite onto it with your molar teeth. And then in Sunan Abi Dawood, there's a narration by Safina. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, خِلَافَةُ النُّبُوَّةَ ثَلَثُونَ سَنَة. خِلَافَةُ النُّبُوَّةَ ثَلَثُونَ سَنَة. That the khilafah, the leadership and authority after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that is the leadership of prophethood, the khilafah of prophethood, ثَلَثُونَ سَنَة. خِلَافَةُ النُّبُوَّةِ 30 سَنَةً. That the khilafah of prophethood, النُّبُوَّة, is 30 years. ثُمَّ يُعْطِ اللَّهُ الْمُلْكَ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. And then Allah, He will give the kingdom and authority to whom He wills. So if we look in those 30 years, that includes the khilafah, first and foremost, Abu Bakr, and then the khilafah of Umar, and then the khilafah of Uthman, and then the khilafah of Ali. This is approximately 29 years, 6 months, and 4 days. 29 years, 6 months, and 4 days. So it's closer to 30. It's almost exactly 30 years. And some of the people of knowledge have included the brief khilafah of Hussein to complete those 30 years. So it happened just as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. After that, the khilafah is mulk, yani kingdom and authority through the land. So this period here is known as Khilafatu Nubuwa, and that is with those 4 rightly guided Khulafa. So they have the most high and lofty status. After them, the 6 left over from the Mubashirin bil Jannah. Who are they? Sa'idun wa Sa'dun wa ibn Awfin wa Talhatu wa Amiru Fihrin wa Zubayru al Mumaddahu. Most of these principles here, they're mentioned along with more principles in the Ha'iyya of Ibn Abi Dawood, rahimahullahu ta'ala. So this is well known. Who these are the best and the most virtuous. But the point is now that we seek forgiveness and ask Allah to have mercy on all of the companions, and we love all of the companions, and we honor and respect all of the companions, and we have nothing but love and respect for all of the companions. This is inside the heart. And as for on the tongue, then the tongue is free from saying anything ill about any one of them, not bringing up their mistakes or their faults or their errors, rather mentioning their praiseworthy traits and covering their faults and mentioning them in a good light and being silent about any errors or mistakes they may have fallen into, along with believing that whatever they had,
whatever occurred between them was based upon ijtihad and based upon striving and reasoning, and each one believing that he was correct. And we're silent about this affair. We're silent about this affair, and we follow that which has been narrated to us from our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam authentically, that he said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِذَا ذُكِرَ أَصْحَابِي فَأَمْسِكُوا. If my companions are mentioned, then you'll hold back and refrain, and even from mentioning anything bad about them whatsoever. So any one of them is mentioned, we say radiyallahu anhu, radiyallahu anha, radiyallahu anhum. This is the methodology of the people of hadith, the people of the sunnah, the people of al-Islam, the people of al-Islam, the true people of al-Islam. This is what they do. وَالَّذِينَ جَاءُوا مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا وَلِإِخْوَانِنَا الَّذِينَ سَبَقُونَا بِالْإِيمَانِ. This is what they say with their tongues. This is what they say with their tongues, seeking forgiveness for them. Huh? Oh Allah, forgive us and our brothers who preceded us in faith. And this is mentioned right after the mention of the muhajirun and the ansar. وَالَّذِينَ جَاءُوا مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ يَعْنِي مِنْ بَعْدِي الْمُحَاجِرِينَ وَالْأَنْصَارِ. Those who come after them. يعني those who come after the muhajirun and the ansar. Those who come after the sahaba. What do? They say, oh, our Lord, forgive us. But do they suffice with that? La. And our brothers who preceded us in faith. Who are our brothers who preceded us in faith? All of the believers who are upon the proper understanding away, upon the true deen of Islam from before us. The head of them and the leaders of them and the best of them is the muhajirun with the ansar. Those who are just previously mentioned. Those who are just previously mentioned in the same context. So this is a clarification of the methodology with regards to the tongue. What does the tongue say about the companions and those who have preceded us in faith? Seeking forgiveness for them, asking Allah to have mercy on them, asking Allah to be pleased with them, mentioning them in a good light, refraining from saying anything bad about them whatsoever. وَلَا تَجْعَلْ فِي قُلُوبِنَا غِلًّا لِلَّذِينَ عَمَنُوا. غِلْ يَنِي حِقْد. حِقْد وَحَسِد. الْغِلْ is animosity, rancor, hatred, hard feelings, jealousy. And do not place any rancor in our hearts towards any one of those who believe. And the head of those who believe, again, are those noble companions from the Muhajirun and the Ansar that have just been mentioned in the verses before this verse. And the verses before this verse. So this clarifies the methodology of Ahl-Sunnah with regards to the noble companions, all of them. This is what the author is referring to, rahimahullah. Then we make tarahum. We ask Allah to forgive and have mercy and to be pleased. Ala ashabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kullihim. Upon the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all of them, yani every last one of them. Every last one of them. So then after this, the author, he says, فَلَنْ يُؤْمِنْ إِلَّا بِالِاسْتِغْفَارِ لَهُمْ. In some wordings here, the one, the treatise that we have the translation, فَلَنْ يُؤْمَرْ إِلَّا بِالِاسْتِغْفَارِ لَهُمْ. We're not commanded except to seek forgiveness for them. فَلَنْ نُؤْمَرْ إِلَّا بِالِاسْتِغْفَارِ لَهُمْ. In another print, it says, فَلَنْ يُؤْمِنْ إِلَّا بِالِاسْتِغْفَارِ لَهُمْ. Wallahu a'lam, this one is closer. And in one of the wordings here, it says that we were not commanded except to seek forgiveness for them. But actually, with regard to the Sahaba, we're also commanded to follow them and to honor them and to respect them and to make dua for them. Many rights that they have upon us that we have been commanded to establish. So we have been commanded more than that. But Allah knows best, the correct one is, فَلَنْ يُؤْمِنْ إِلَّا بِالِاسْتِغْفَارِ لَهُمْ. This is what it's intending here. That a person, he will not truly believe until he seeks forgiveness for them. And until his tongue is safe from finding fault with any one of them or talking bad about them whatsoever. He will not truly believe. Because Allah, he mentioned the believers. He mentioned the believers, the muhajirun and the ansar. They are the believers of those days. They are the believers of those days at the time of the revelation. And then Allah, he mentioned that at the time, while they're alive, that those who come after them, those noble believers and companions, when Muhajirun and Ansar, this is what they say. So the people of faith, they are people who seek forgiveness for those before them, from the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and love them and say good about them. So those who do not do that, then they're not from the people of faith. Then they're not from the people of faith. This is the point to be made here. So فَلَنْ يُؤْمِنْ إِلَّا بِالِاسْتِغْفَارِ لَهُمْ. So one will not believe except by seeking forgiveness for them, and except by saying good about them, and not saying anything bad about them, and not bearing any rancor or hatred in the heart towards any one of them. Towards any one of them, radiyallahu anhum. So then he says, فَمَنْ سَبَّهُمْ أَوْ تَنَقَصَهُمْ أَوْ أَحَدًا مِّنْهُمْ فَلَيْسَ عَلَى السُّنَّةِ وَلَيْسَ لَهُ فِي الْفَيْءِ حَقٌّ وَلَيْسَ لَهُ فِي الْفَيْءِ. So whoever insults them or belittles them, be it even one of them, then he is not upon the sunnah. and he does not have any right in the war booty. In the war booty, the fate is different than the ghanima or the maghnam. The maghnam is the war booty that the believers they capture from the disbelievers after battle. After battle, but al fayt ما يرجع إلى المؤمنين صلى الله ما يرجع إلى المؤمنين من أموال الكفار من غير قتال. This is the difference. The maghnam, the war booty, is the wealth that is obtained in jihad. Whenever the believers they fight the disbelievers and they conquer them and they have victory, they will take the spoils of war. They will take the spoils of war that they gained from fighting and going to battle. As for the fayt, then it's a type of spoils of war, but it's the wealth that is obtained from the disbelievers, but not by way of fighting. Like they will come and they will come, and then the disbelieving forces they will not fight. Whether they will surrender, they'll make truce. They'll have a truce like this, or they will just be completely overwhelmed and overcome without any battle and the likes like this, or so on and so forth. So this is called fayt. So they take the wealth here of those disbelievers without having to raise a weapon. This one is called al-fayt. And it has rulings and details. But he's saying here that these people here, they're the ones who have the right for shares in the spoils of war. Specifically these types of spoils of war. So whoever curses one of them, insults one of them, calls one of them bad names, or he finds fault with one of them, talking bad about one of them, whoever curses them, and he calling them bad names, or finding fault and mentioning the bad traits of them, or even one of them, then he's not upon the sunnah. So what is he upon then? He's upon bid'ah. And even it could reach a level that he's upon kufr. So cursing the companions, some of them, it could be considered a type of disbelief, like if they blame Aisha and claim what the hypocrites claimed in the time of the ifk and the fabricated lie against her, radiallahu anha, after Allah had revealed revelation, freeing her from that. If they accused her of that now, after those ayat had been revealed, they're disbelieving in the book of Allah Azza wa Jal. But in any case, this is the way of the innovators. This is a sign of clear innovation. Rather, the specific innovators that do this are the Rafida, and they are from the worst of those who ascribe to al-Islam. And this is something that they have with them, but even more foul and lowly is that they call on the graves. They do actions that will take them out of Islam. Waliyadu billah, and they have creeds besides this that take them out of Islam. Waliyadu billah, but this is from their way, the way of the filthy Shia and the Rafida. The filthy Shia and the Rafidah, waliyadhu billah. They're the ones who curse the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you were to ask anyone in his right mind, who was the best people in the time of Nuh alayhi salam, what will you say? Huh? Who was the best of mankind in the time of Nuh alayhi salam? Huh? Those who got on the ship with him, believed in him and followed him, his companions and friends, those who were with him. Who was the best of mankind in the time of Ibrahim alayhi salam? His followers, those who believed in him and followed him. Who was the best of the people in the time of Musa alayhi salam? Banu Israel, the children of Israel, the believers, those who believed in Musa and followed him alayhi salatu wasalam. Who was the best in the time of Isa? Al-Hawariyun, the disciples, the believers, those who believed in Isa, alayhi salatu wasalam, and followed him. So if you ask these people here, who is the worst in the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam, what do they say? If you ask, who is the worst in the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam, what do they say? They say the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam. What's wrong with these people? You lost your mind. No, they didn't lose their mind. They're very clever. They hate Islam. They want to destroy it from its foundation. We have discussed this before. Al-Islam has reached us by chain. Al-Islam, the true religion, the true deen, the Quran and the Sunnah, has reached us by chain of narration. And this is something specific that only the believers they have, and no one else has that. So the only way to corrupt Islam is to remove the chain. Is to do away with the chain. Because so long as we have the chain, we're able to identify this is sunnah, this is bid'ah, this is from the deen, this is innovation, This is from the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is ascribed falsely, and there's no evidence for that. So the chain is the means to identify and to clarify. That's why it's so important to study these books that reached us by chain, especially those other works that are narrated to us, Kutub al-Qa'id al-Musnad, those books of creed that have reached us with chains of narration back to our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam about creed specifically, back to the companions radiallahu anhum about creed specifically, back to the tabi'un about creed specifically. Likewise, whenever we want to apply that creed and abide by the law and legislation, we go back to the Kutub al-Sitta specifically, and the other books of hadith that have reached us by chain of narration, clarifying and verifying that this belief and this creed and this law and this legislation is ascribed properly, correctly, and authentically to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this one is not. So if you get the companions out of the way, then what can you do with Islam? This is Islam and that is Islam. You got Islamic music, you got Islamic grit, you got Islamic that, you got Islamic this, you have this. You can say whatever you want to about Islam, and you can do whatever you want to with the believers. You can manipulate and use the people. You can manipulate and use the people. We all know Abu Zur'a al-Razi rahimahullah ta'ala from those great scholars. We have been discussing many benefits from him and about him. And those in his tabaqa and before him and after him. Abu Zur'a al-Razi, he died in the year 260. For rahimahullah ta'ala, he has a wonderful statement with regards to this. We pay attention. Great scholar of hadith, someone who truly loves that Islam and his people. What does he say? إِذَا رَأَيْتُ الرَّجُلَ يَتَنَقَّسُ أَحَدًا مِنْ أَصْحَابِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. This is the same word Imam al-Humaydi is using. That فَمَنْ سَبَّهُمْ أَوْ تَنَقَّصَهُمْ أَوْ أَحَدًا مِنْهُمْ. Whoever cursed them or found fault with them, or even one of them, فَلَيْسَ عَلَى السُّنَّةِ فَلَيْسَ عَلَى السُّنَّةِ وَلَيْسَ لَهُ فِي الْفَيْءِ حَقٍ. He has no right in the spoils of war, in these spoils of war. إِذَا رَأَيْتَ Abu Zur'a, he says, rahimahullah, إِذَا رَأَيْتَ الرَّجُلَ يَتَنَقَّصُ أَحَدًا مِنْ أَصْحَابِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. If you see a man, any a person, a woman likewise, if you see a person finding fault, insulting, talking bad about any one of the messenger, about any one of the companions of the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, فَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ زَنِّيقٌ, then you must know that he's a zindiq. A zindiq is a pure hypocrite who outwardly displays Islam with the intention to corrupt it from the inside. They're called zanadiqa. He's a hypocrite with the evil and foul intention to destroy Islam from within. If you see someone finding fault and talking bad about one of the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, you must know that he's a heretic. He's a zindiq. He's an evil, filthy, lowly person claiming to be a Muslim in order to destroy al-Islam. That's what that means. You understand that? This is the advice that he's giving. He says, وَذَٰلِكَ, now he's mentioning the reason, وَذَٰلِكَ أَنَّ الرَّسُولَ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ عِنْدَنَا حَقٌّ. And that is because we believe that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, he's the truth. And he's the Messenger of Allah in truth. صلى الله عليه وسلم, وَالْقُرْآنِ حَقٌّ. And the Quran is the truth. It's the speech of Allah Azza wa Jalla. It's not created. It's revelation that is revealed. The final law and legislation. وَإِنَّمَا أَدَّى إِلَيْنَا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ وَالسُّنَنَ أَصْحَابُ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. And it is only the companions of the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم who have transmitted to us the Quran and the Sunan, the Quran and these laws and legal ways. The Quran and this deen and this guidance that has come from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Quran only reaches by way of them. The Sunnah only reaches by way of them. وَإِنَّمَا يُرِيدُونَ أَن يَجْرَحُوا شُهُودَنَا. And they only want to criticize our witnesses, those who witnessed the revelation and transmitted what they witnessed truthfully and honestly. They want to criticize and find fault. They need to drop our witnesses. لِيُبْطِرُوا الْكِتَابَ وَالسُّنَّةَ. So they can invalidate the book in the Sunnah. So they can nullify the book in the Sunnah. Meaning, so they can do whatever they like with the religion of Islam and its people. وَالْجَرْحُ بِهِمْ أَوْلَى وَهُمْ زَنَادِقَى. And criticism, they are more rightful to be criticized. They have more right to be criticized. And they're heretics. So this is the way of the people of hadith, yani, with regards to this. This is not something light. This is something very major. And in Bukhari and Muslim, the Prophet in Bukhari and Muslim from the Hadith of Abu Sa'id radiallahu anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "La tasubbu ashabi." Do not curse my companions. Do not insult them. Do not call them names. Do not call them names. "La tasubbu ashabi." فَلَوْ أَنَّ أَحَدَكُمْ أَنْفَقَ مِثْلَ أُحُدٍ ذَهَبًا مَا بَلَغَ مُدَّ أَحَدِهِمْ وَلَا نَصِيفًا. Do not curse my companions. Do not call my companions bad names. Do not say bad things about my companions. This is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. And if one of you were to spend the size of Uhud in gold, in the path of Allah Azza wa Jalla, you were to spend that in the path of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Mount Uhud is more than 5 to 7 kilometers long, not to mention how tall it is. It's a very large mountain. It's a very large mountain. It's not a small hill. If one of you, any from those who come after them, if one of you were to spend that weight of the weight of Uhud in gold, it would not reach the mud of one of him, rather of one of them. It would not value the mud of one of them, not even half of it, nor even half of it. And if one of the companions, they have a mud, for example, of rice. A mud is whenever you take a moderate-sized man, he put his two hands together like this and fill them up. So if one of them were to take his hands like this and have some rice or some dates, and he were to spend that for the sake of Allah, then if one of us were to spend the whole Mount Uhud in gold, then that which we spend would not even reach that small amount of dates or wheat or raisin or barley and the likes like this from them. Not even half of it, he said. What a nasifa, and not even half. That great mountain of gold, if one of us were to spend that for the sake of Allah, sincerely and truthfully seeking the reward of Allah, it would not reach the mud of one of them. The mud of one of them, not even half of it. Nor even half of it. And so they have reached a high status with Allah Azza wa Jal that no one can reach after them. And this is because Allah has selected them and chosen them to be the carriers and the defenders of the religion, the companions and the friends and the followers of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They gave their life to defend, and for the sake of Allah, to defend the Messenger of Allah and the religion of Allah, and to carry on the religion of Allah and the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So they have a high, lofty status with Allah Azza wa Jal. So the author, he mentions the issue of the fay. So the one who talks bad about them, they have no right in the fay. They have no right in the fay. They have no right for this war booty that is obtained without fighting. This war booty that is obtained from the disbelievers without fighting. Without fighting. He mentions the evidence for this now. He says, أخبرنا بذلك غير واحد عن مالك ابن أنس. More than one person. Many people have narrated this to us. From Malik ibn Anas. Who is that? Malik ibn Anas. Who is Malik ibn Anas? Who is that? You got it mixed up. That's Anas ibn Malik. Anas ibn Malik is the companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As for Malik ibn Anas, this Al-Imam Malik, Ahsanta. Al-Imam Malik, the great Imam, Imam Dar al-Hijrah. His name is Malik ibn Anas, al-Asbahi, rahimahullahu ta'ala. Imam Dar al-Hijrah, Abu Abdullah, he died in the year 179. He died in the year 179. The great teacher of Al-Imam al-Shafi, rahimahullahu ta'ala. The great teacher of Al-Imam al-Shafi, rahimahullah. He's staying here. That more than one person has narrated to us from Malik ibn Anas, rahimahullah ta'ala, annahu qal, qasam Allah ta'ala al-fay, faqala lil-fuqara'i al-muhajirina al-ladhina ukhriju min diyarihim, thumma qala wal-ladhina ja'u min ba'dihim yaquluna rabbana ikhillana wal-ikhwanina, faman lam yaqul hadha lahum, فليس ممن جئله الفي فمن لم يقل هذا لهم فليس ممن جئل له الفي فليس ممن جئل له الفي. He says, we were informed of this by more than one individual from Malik ibn Anas, that he said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala distributed the booty, and in the war booty, the fay, he said, And there is also a share in this booty, and in this war booty, for the poor immigrants who were expelled from their homes and their property, seeking bounties from Allah and to please Him, and helping Allah, and aiding His religion and His messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. These, they are the truthful. They are the truthful.
وَقَالَ وَالَّذِينَ تَبَوَّوُوا الدَّارَ وَالْإِيمَانَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ يُحِبُّونَ مَنْ هَاجَرَ إِلَيْهِمْ وَلَا يَجِدُونَ فِي صُدُورِهِمْ حَاجَةً مِمَّا أُوتُوا وَيُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَى أَنفُسِهِمْ وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصَةٌ وَمَنْ يُوقَ شُحَّ نَفْسِهِ فَأُولَئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ فَأُولَئِكَ هُمْ الْمُفْلِحُونَ.
And so he mentioned the statements of Allah Azza wa Jal. للفقراء المهاجرين الذين أخرجوا من ديارهم وأموالهم يبتغون فضلا من الله ورضوانا وينصرون الله ورسوله أولئك هم الصادقون. And
there is also a share in this booty for the poor immigrants, and the muhajirun, the poor from them, who are expelled from their homes and their property, seeking the bounties and blessing from Allah and to please Him, and helping Allah, and aiding His religion and His messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Indeed, they are the truthful. And then he said, وَقَالَ, and then Allah, He says, and Allah, He says, وَالَّذِينَ تَبَوَّوا الدَّارَ وَالْإِيمَانَ مِنْ قَبْرِهِمْ يُحِبُّونَ مَنْ هَاجَرَ إِلَيْهِمْ وَلَا يَجِدُونَ فِي صُدُورِهِمْ حَاجَةً مِمَّا أُوتُوا وَيُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَى أَنفُسِهِمْ وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصَةً وَمَنْ يُوقَ شُحَّ نَفْسِهِ فَأُولَئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. And as for those who were settled in Al-Madinah and adopted the faith before them, they love those who immigrated to them and have no jealousy in their breasts for that which they have been given from the booty of Bani Nadir, and give them, the immigrants, preference over themselves, even though they were in need of that. And whoever is protected from the stinginess of his soul, it is those who will be successful. فَمَنْ لَمْ يَقُلْ هَذَا لَهُمْ فَلَيْسَ مِمَّنْ جُعِلَ لَهُ الْفَيْءِ. So whoever does not say this for them, seeking forgiveness, then it is not from amongst those that receive any booty. And because Allah, He mentioned after this, وَالَّذِينَ جَاءُوا مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا وَلِإِخْوَانِنَا الَّذِينَ سَبَقُونَا بِالْإِيمَانِ. Because Allah, He says after these two verses, and those who come after them, they say, O our Lord, forgive us, and those who have preceded us in faith. These verses here in Surah Al-Hashr, they come in this context of speaking about the tribe and the affairs that happened with Bani Nadir, which is one of the tribes of the Yahud who violated the contract and the covenant. And so therefore the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he went to them and he overcame them and captured them, and they did not fight, they did not resist. And they did not resist. And there was a great faith and property and wealth that was obtained. And Allah, He mentioned how to divide that. And He mentioned those who have right to that. And then mentioning that those after them, they say this. So those who have the right to it were those companions and those who are mentioned in that text, and also those who after them say these words of seeking forgiveness and praising and mentioning the companions and goodness. So whoever finds fault with them, they have excluded themselves from this ruling, and they have no right to this war booty after them. After them. You understand? This is the point that he's trying to make now, to clarify that these people, they're foul and lowly, and they have no right to this affair, because they are contrary to that which Allah has described from the true sincere believers and the followers of Al-Islam. So the followers of Al-Islam, they are the noble companions. At the head of them, the Muhajirun and the Ansar, radiallahu anhum, and those who come after them, who followed their way and loved them and say nothing but good about them and have nothing but love and respect for them, and they followed them diligently. These are the people of Al-Islam, truly. As for those who find fault with them or talk bad about them or follow another way besides their way, then their Islam is deficient, and it's not the Islam that is pleasing to Allah Azza wa Jal. And it's not the Islam that is pleasing to Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah, He says, السابقون الأولون من المهاجرين والأنصار والذين تبعوهم بإحسان رضي الله عنهم ورضوا عنه. Indeed, the first and foremost from the Muhajirun and the Ansar, and those who followed them properly, precisely, truthfully, inwardly and outwardly, then Allah is pleased with them and they are pleased with Him. So if one, he hopes to have the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal, then he must follow them. Then he must follow them, because the people who have the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal are mentioned in this noble verse in three categories. They are the Muhajirun and the Ansar, وَالَذِينَ تَبَعُوهُمْ بِإِحْسَانِ, those who follow them correctly and properly, truthfully, inwardly
and outwardly, inwardly and outwardly. And it's not possible for us to be from the Muhajirun, nor is it possible for us to be from the Ansar. So we only have one option left if we hope for the pleasure of Allah, and that is to be from those who follow them precisely, sincerely, truthfully, in creed and belief, and methodology, worship, manners, conduct, and speech. In the way, in their way, following their way. In this manner, a person, he has hopes to have the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal. To have the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal. These are the true people of Al-Islam. These are the true followers of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. These are the ones who are truly upon the guidance that was revealed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah make us upon their way. May Allah make us and our family and our loved ones upon their way. So we have to strive to learn their way, and we have to strive diligently and have time to learn and to seek knowledge, and have time to learn and to seek knowledge. To further emphasize the status of the companions, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned in his book, he says, وَمَا لَكُمْ لَا تُنْفِقُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَلِلَّهِ مِيرَاثُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. And what is the matter with you that you do not spend in the cause of Allah? لَا يَسْتَوِي مِنْكُمْ. And that you not spend in the cause of Allah. And to Allah belongs the heritage of the heavens and the earth. And then Allah, he says, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is the shahid from the verse, لَا يَسْتَوِي مِنْكُمْ مَنْ أَنْفَقَ مِنْ قَبْلِ الْفَتْحِ مِنْ قَبْلِ الْفَتْحِ وَقَاتِلْ. لَا يَسْتَوِي مِنْكُمْ مَنْ أَنْفَقَ مِنْ قَبْلِ الْفَتْحِ وَقَاتِلْ أُولَئِكَ أَعْظَمُ دَرَجَةً مِنَ الَّذِينَ أَنْفَقُوا مِنْ بَعْدُ وَقَاتَلُوا. And not equal among you are those who spent their wealth and fought in the cause of Allah before the conquering of Mecca, any from those who did so afterwards. They're not equal. Those who spent their wealth in the cause of Allah and they fought with their life and their property and their soul, their creed and their belief in the cause of Allah before the conquest of Mecca, they're not equal like those who came after. They're not equal like those who came after. أُولَٰئِكَ أَعْظَمُ دَرَجَةً. These here, those who fought and spent their wealth before the conquest of Mecca, they have a great, they have a higher, they have a greater status, a greater rank. They have such are higher in degree than those who spent and fought afterwards. Than those who spent and fought afterwards. They have a higher status in degree, and they have a higher status and degree, a higher rank and level than those who fought after them. When was the conquest of Mecca? In Ramadan? And the 8th year after the hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So all of those believers who believed and spent their wealth and they fought along with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the path of Allah up until that day, they're better and higher in status than those who came after them. Than those who came after them. We understand this? The head of them are the Muhajirun and the Ansar. They're the Muhajirun and the Ansar. They have the highest and the most lofty status. The highest and the most lofty status. And then those who came after them. But then Allah, he reassures them. Listen to what's next. وَكُلًّا وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الْحُسْنَى. And all of them, Allah promised them the best. And all of them, those who spent before, who are best and higher in rank, and those who spent and fought afterwards. Likewise, those who spent and fought before, who have the highest and the most lofty status, and those who spent and fought after the conquest, likewise. كُلًّا وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الْحُسْنَى. All of them Allah promised them Jannah. Al-Husna yani al-Jannah. All of them Allah promised them Jannah. So every last companion who met the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and believed in him, and followed him, and died upon faith, then he's promised paradise. وَكُلًّا وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الْحُسْنَى. وَكُلًّا وَعَدَ اللَّهُ حُسْنًا وَاللَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ خَبِيرٌ. And Allah, he is all aware of that which you do. So Allah has promised all of them paradise. So every last one of the companions is promised paradise. Every last one of the companions is promised paradise. Clearly with this verse right here. رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ. So how could one say anything bad about those who have been promised paradise? Even some of them, we know they have been promised paradise by their name. By their name. They have been promised paradise by their name. And these ones who have been promised paradise by their name, from the best of them are the ones that those people, they curse the most and they hate the most and they find fault with the most and they belittle the most. And then some fools will come along today and say, they're our brothers. Wallahi, they're not our brothers. Our brothers, who are our brothers? الذين جاءوا من بعدهم يقولون ربنا اغفر لنا ولإخواننا الذين سبقونا في الدار. Our brothers are the ones who seek forgiveness for them. Our brothers are the ones who love them. Our brothers are the ones who follow them. Our brothers are the ones who honor them. Our brothers are the ones who respect them. Our brothers are the ones who are silent about anything bad that may have happened between them or amongst them or from them. They're silent about that. They say nothing about that. They don't talk about that. They don't talk about that. Rather, they say, radiyallahu anhum. Radiyallahu anhum. Radiyallahu anhum. They love them. They love them. They love the companions. They love the companions. It's deen. Loving the companions is deen. The deen is the deen of the companions. They're the ones who seen the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam transmitted the religion, the Quran and the Sunnah to us. How could it be deen and they did not know it and they did not transmit it? How could it be from the Salat but they did not see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam pray like that? How could it be from fasting and they didn't see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam fast like that? How could it be from Hajj and they didn't see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam make Hajj like that? How could it be dua and they never heard the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam do it like that? How could it be adhkar and they never learned it from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? They're the ones who witnessed these affairs. They're the ones who transmitted these affairs. They're the ones who told us in the first place there was a great man who came with revelation from the heavens. They're the ones who told us in the first place there's a great man. He came in the Arabian Peninsula with revelation from the heavens. Amazing affairs happened in his life. We aided him and supported him. And we went through great challenges and hardship. And in the end, we had great victory. Allahu Akbar, if you've seen his life and his biography, you'd be amazed. They're the ones who informed us of these affairs. So in order to do away with Islam, you have to do away with the chain that leads back to the companions or to the companions themselves. Take it off from the head. For this reason, from those who they curse the most and they hate the most and they talk bad about the most, Abu Huraira also. Do you know that? They hate Abu Huraira. Why? Because he narrated over 5,000 narrations. They hate Aisha likewise. She narrated over 2,000 narrations. Get this out of the way, and then we can say the graves is Islam, and the mausoleum is Islam, and the birthday is Islam, and this is Islam, and that is Islam, and we have Islamic Republic, and so on. These are all lies. Oh, but we love the family of the Prophet. You know, you're a liar. You're a liar. Well, you're a liar. You don't love them. Well, you're a liar. You don't love them. Astaghfirullah. Should not have any. And we have no love for them. Low love for the Rafidah and for those who curse the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If we love Islam, if we love Allah and His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is our creed. As-sunnah indana hada. Yani ad-deen indana hada. Al-aqidah indana hada. Manhaj indana hada. This is what I believe. This is what I want to die upon. Believing and loving the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, following the best I can. And following the best I can. Radiyallahu anhum hada. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad. وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.